There was once a priest, a Pentecostal preacher, and a rabbi who served as chaplains to the students at the University of Georgia. They would get together two or three times a week for coffee and to talk shop. And one day, someone made the comment that preaching to people really isn't that difficult. A real challenge would be to preach to a bear. One thing led to another, and they decided to do an experiment. They would all go out into the woods, find a bear, preach to it, and attempt to convert it. 7 days later, they all gathered together to discuss their experience. Father Flannery had his arm in a sling. He was on crutches, and he had various bandages on his body and limbs. He went first and said, "Well, I went into the woods to find me a bear. And when I found him, I began to read to him from the catechism. Well, that bear wanted nothing to do with me and began to slap me around. So I quickly grabbed my holy water, sprinkled him, and he became gentle as a lamb. The bishop is coming out next week to give that bear first communion and confirmation." Reverend Billy, the Pentecostal preacher, spoke next. He was in a wheelchair with an arm and both legs in casts. He said, "Well, brothers, you know that we don't sprinkle. I went out and I found me a bear. And then I began to read to my bear from God's holy word. But that bear wanted nothing to do with me. So I took hold of him and we began to wrestle. We wrestled down one hill, up another, and down another, until we came to a creek. So I quickly dunked him and baptized his hairy soul. And just like you said, he became as gentle as a lamb. We spent the rest of the day praising the Lord." Father Flannery and Reverend Billy looked down at the rabbi, who was in a body cast and traction with IVs and monitors running in and out of him. He was in very bad shape. Rabbi Horowitz looked up and said to his friends, "Looking back on it, circumcision may not have been the best way to start." This morning, I would like to talk with you about our mission. And I have 3 points. Number one, is it okay to have a Chinese church? Number two, we have a mission. And number three, we need a loyal love. Let's begin with number one. Is it okay to have a Chinese church? About a week ago, Harumi and I went to Queen's Dim Sum for a late night dinner. And of course, we had to have the chicken pao. As we were enjoying the meal, the owner of the restaurant, Joe, came up to us and asked how we were doing. I asked Joe what time he got off of work, and he told us that after he left the restaurant at about 11 p.m., he had a midnight Bible study to go to. "A midnight Bible study," I said to Joe. "Who comes to a midnight Bible study?" Joe answered, "All of us who work in Chinese restaurants." Even his cook went to the Bible study. I was so impressed. I asked Joe what church he attended, and he told me that it was called Grace Chinese Baptist Church. At least that was the English translation. I'll be meeting with the pastor of that church in a couple of weeks. And yes, it will be at a Chinese restaurant. I think the name of the church is very significant because it communicates something about their mission. They are not just Grace Baptist Church, they are Grace Chinese Baptist Church. The implication is that they have a particular mission to build a congregation for Yeshua within the Richmond Chinese community. I think it's wonderful. But interestingly, not all Christians would agree. Some Christian leaders think that it is wrong for churches to prioritize particular ethnic groups, and that churches should reach out to all people impartially. While we can understand the concern here that a non-Chinese person could feel like a second-class citizen in a Chinese church, the question remains whether God calls certain churches and congregations to reach out to particular people groups. How can we know if Hashem does this or not? To answer this query, we must consult our Bibles. If we look at the Besorot, the Gospels, it is notable that Yeshua sends out his shlichim, his apostles, only to fellow Jews. We are told in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, Yeshua called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Yeshua sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Here we see that Yeshua sent out his shlichim with a message and a confirmation of that message, the power to heal the sick, even those with tzara'at, as our Torah portion, Tazria Metzora, discusses this morning. But significantly, Yeshua only sends his shlichim to a particular ethnic group, fellow Jews. And he specifically says not to go to other ethnic groups. Why is this? Why was Yeshua so exclusive? Why did he only send his shlichim to fellow Jews? It's because that was his mission. And why did Avinu Sheba Shemaim, our Father in heaven, send his son only to Jews? It's because of the three-stranded cord. Yes, all roads lead back to the three-stranded cord. God's covenant with Israel made it right to prioritize his family first. It was a matter of covenant loyalty and faithfulness on Hashem's part. Contrary to the stereotype, Yeshua is not described in the New Testament as a generic human being who traveled around the world healing the sick and proclaiming good news. On the contrary, Yeshua stayed within the promised borders of the land of Israel, and he ministered almost exclusively to fellow Jews. On one occasion, a Gentile woman appealed to Yeshua for help. The Messiah's reply tells us much about his commitment that he had to his mission. Matthew writes in chapter 15 of his gospel, "Leaving that place, Yeshua withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." By the way, this is part of the territory that Hashem gave to the tribe of Asher. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Yeshua did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The text goes on to tell us that the Gentile woman did not accept no for an answer, and in holy chutzpah, she pleaded to Yeshua for help. Yeshua eventually acknowledged her impressive faith and granted her request. May all of us learn to persevere in our coming before the Lord as she did. And let me just say, a lot of us here have prayers that we've been praying for a long time. Let's not give up hope on those prayers. Let's press in. Let's remember that scripture that says, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." And I think this woman exemplified that kind of faith. We have to press in. Keep praying for those areas. Don't give up. Though Yeshua granted this woman's request, the fact remains that he reluctantly did so. Why was this? As Yeshua said to this woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was his mission. But did that mean Yeshua did not care about the woman? That he lacked compassion for the Gentile world? Far from it. Yeshua had a plan to reach the hundreds of people groups around the world, but only later, after he had gone to his own people. Yeshua's plan was that after his death and resurrection, some of his shlichim would continue his mission to fellow Jews, while others, like Paul and Barnabas, would go to the Gentiles. Paul describes the dual mission that existed in his own day. He writes in Galatians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, "For God, who is at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews." So is it okay to have a Chinese church? Absolutely. This is the way Hashem works. He calls different people and different communities to bring his Besorah, his good news, to different ethnic peoples, beginning with his people, Israel. And this brings us to my second point. We have a mission. What is our mission here at Tikvat Israel? Let's all say it together. Once we have it on the screen. There we go. On the bottom. Tikvat Israel's mission is to build a congregation for Yeshua within the house of Israel. One more time, everyone. Tikvat Israel's mission is to build a congregation for Yeshua within the house of Israel. Since the Lord established our synagogue in the center of Richmond, literally, it is accurate to say that our mission is more specifically to build a congregation for Yeshua within the Richmond Jewish community. In historical retrospect, we are a congregation that is continuing the mission that Yeshua began, and that Peter, James, and John continued to bring the Besorah, the good news, to our own people, the people of Israel. Like marathon runners, Yeshua passed the torch of his mission to his shlichim, his apostles. And that torch has been passed down the generations to us, to each of us in this room who are members of this synagogue. Isn't that exciting? That we have been passed that torch that came from Yeshua and went to James, Peter, and John all the way down to us here today? And this brings us to my last point. We need a loyal love. It is not easy to walk out the Messiah's mission to his own people, in part because of more than 1,500 years of Christian anti-Semitism and anti-Judaism, culminating in the Holocaust. Last week was Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. We must not forget that the Holocaust took place in the heart of Christian Europe, and that Hitler's minions, for the most part, went to church every Sunday, where they sometimes sang louder to drown out the sounds of the trains that were going by, carrying our people to the gas chambers. As Elie Wiesel puts it in a message that he shared in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York, he said, "I do not feel at ease in a church. I hope you will forgive my frankness. I believe in the usefulness of dialogue, but it must be preceded by an honest exchange. As a child, I was afraid of the church, to the point of changing sidewalks. In my town, the fear was justified, not only because of what I inherited, our collective memory, but also because of the simple fact that twice a year, at Easter and Christmas, Jewish children would be beaten up by their Christian neighbors." Unquote. Here at Tikvah in Israel, we have a mission. But it is a very difficult one because of this painful history between the church and the synagogue. Last week, the VCU Interfaith Campus Ministers Association approved our application. Yay! That means that our Messianic Jewish Student Alliance, the MJSA, is now fully represented on this council at VCU. Baruch Hashem. But it was not easy to get that approval. The representative of Hillel, another Jewish college group, feared that we would harm Jewish students on campus if our group shares about Yeshua with them. And Hillel opposed our application. Where does this fear come from? After all, Yeshua was a Jew, a faithful Jew, who taught us to love God and to love one another. Where does this fear come from? It comes from the seeds of jealousy and hatred that have been allowed to grow up like weeds over the centuries in the church. If Gentile Christians had loved the Jewish people through the centuries, as many of you here who are Gentile believers in Yeshua, if they had loved Jewish people over the centuries, that fear would not be there in the Jewish world today. And there would be great interest in learning about the life and the teachings of Yeshua the Messiah. In light of this history, how can we walk out our mission to build a congregation for Yeshua within the Richmond Jewish community? There is no easy answer to this question. However, the trajectory is clear. We need to have a loyal love for our people. And this love needs to be manifest in the form of selfless deeds, even as Israel's fallen soldiers will be honored this Monday when our people around the world commemorate Yom HaZikaron, Israel Memorial Day. It was the loyal love of these countless men and women that made the establishment of the modern state of Israel possible, a modern miracle that our people will celebrate on Tuesday with the festival of Yom HaAtzmaut, Israeli Independence Day. And again, I encourage all of us to go to the JCC this Sunday to enjoy the celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut that's taking place there. How can we see realized our mission to build a congregation for Yeshua within the Richmond Jewish community? In order to lift up the name of Yeshua within this community, we must learn the lesson of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. We must have and show this same kind of loyal love, a love that sacrifices everything for our people, our time, our finances, even our very lives. We need a loyal love. Today we have talked about our mission, and I had 3 points. Number one, is it okay to have a Chinese church?
Yes,
it is. Number two, we have a mission. What is that mission? To build a congregation for Yeshua within the house of Israel. And finally, number three, we need a loyal what? Love. Let's all pray. Avinu Sheva Shamayim, we thank you so much that you did not abandon our people through the centuries, even during the times when we have turned grievously away from you. You have remained faithful to our people. You have been a God who has extended your arms of hospitality and have kept us within your household. And you have wooed us back to you. Lord, thank you that you have been faithful to the church as well, that through the centuries of the church wandering from you in various ways, especially in this area of lack of love for our people, thank you that you have been faithful, Lord, to the church, to the body of Messiah. And we ask you today, Father, we ask you, Avinu, that you would give us a loyal love to our people. Help us, Lord, help us as individuals and as a community to know how we can bless our people with that loyal love, the kind of love that is self-sacrificial, the kind of love that is Yeshua-like. And we ask this, Lord, in the name